You guys ready to get in there this morning? Let's do it. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 11. We'll try to read 11 verses and not stop and preach anywhere. For these guys, they're ready to go. Jesus told this story to his disciples. He said, there was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, what's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired. The manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much do you owe him? The man replied, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil. So the manager told him, take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. And how much do you owe my employer, he asked the next man. I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat, was the reply. Here, the manager said, take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. Verse 8 says, the rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal, I love that, for being so shrewd. And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of the light. Here's the lesson, verse 9. Use your worldly resources, listen to this, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true, everyone say true, with the true riches of heaven? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for speaking to us and ministering to us right now as we sit in this place together in all of your glory and all of your goodness and all of your presence. And Lord, I ask for these next few moments as we dive into your word together, Lord, that we would not just see some good ideas, we would not just see some theories or some wonderful notions to aspire to, but Lord, I pray that we would have an encounter with you, the God of this word, Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak to every one of us, I pray. Why don't you put your hands on your belly somewhere, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes, open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's play a little game this morning real quick. Anybody ever play the if I could go back in time game? Like if you could go back in time to one specific place in history, where might you go, okay? For instance, let's just say that you could go back in time to a moment where let's just, you know, we don't need to be greedy. We don't have to get Amazon stock or Tesla stock. Let's just settle for a nice high-end stock, but nothing crazy. Like let's say if you could go back in time to a place when you could buy Apple, theoretically, for 36 cents a share, would that be a good way to go back in time? How many would like to do that? For instance, there's a day you could go back in time, buy Apple for 36 cents a share, and theoretically, if you bought $100 worth of Apple stock at 36 cents a share today, that investment would be worth $41,000 and change. How's that? All right, now let's take this a little step further. Here's the deal. You've only got enough juice. You've only got enough time. You've only got enough energy to go back in time once and do one thing. Are you going to go back and get that stock? Is that where, I mean, I don't know. Or maybe you're going to find another one. I don't know. Here's the deal. Let's say this. Let me just expand this idea a little further. That same Apple stock for 36 cents, the day that it traded for 36 cents a share on the New York Stock Exchange, you know what that day was? It was September 10th, 2001. On September 10th, 2001, the day before the September 11th attack, Apple was trading at 36 cents a share. Now, you can only do one thing on your time travel back in history. That's it. Don't play any silly games like, I would go back in time and make it to where I could do more than one thing. No. That's against the rules of the game. That breaks the rules of our time travel universe that I've just invented here for you, okay? You can do one thing. Now, are you going to go back and get the Apple stock for 36 cents a share, make $41,000 on $100, or might you warn somebody of what might happen the next day? There's not as a resounding answer in the room as I thought there might be. Some of us are like, oh, you can't put a price on human life. I would definitely do what I could do. Others of you are like, I think you just put a price on human life. It's $41,000. That's a pretty good. No, I'm just kind of nobody. I don't know why I think that's so funny. I'm twisted. Obviously, I think most of us in this room, if we were given the choice, would maybe, if we had the ability or the power to do so, would do something like change, warn somebody of the events of September 11th, right? And that's that. Why is that? Because we do somewhere innately recognize the idea that people are more important than money. Amen, somebody. But here's the thing. Even though we know that, when we look at the way we live our lives and a lot of the day-to-day practical decisions that we make, so many of the things that we do are lent towards making money, earthly wealth, earthly resources here on earth, and very little of it is spent investing in what we recognize is actually important, which are relationships and which are people. Amen, somebody? And that's really the dichotomy, and that's really the kingdom principle that Jesus is sharing in this parable. Is Jesus is sharing this story to let us know that in the kingdom, listen, in the kingdom, you can't miss this, in the kingdom of God, physical resources, money, and this goes beyond money, time, talent, ability, physical resources are in the kingdom are simply a test to see if I'm ready for true riches. Amen? That's what Jesus said in this parable in verse 11. He says, if you can't be trusted with physical resources, with earthly resources, if you can't steward those well, if you can't take care of those, how will God your Father trust you with what we call true riches? And what are true riches? Well, based on this parable and based on what he's talking about, true riches are relationships. True riches are people. True riches are friendships. True riches and beyond. I spend so much time worrying and thinking about money and paying the bills. And it's not that it's not important, and it's not that I don't have to deal with it, but the reality is this: at the end of the day, those things are only a test to see if I can handle true riches. Amen? Earthly wealth, let me say it this way: earthly wealth is nothing more than a vehicle to test what real riches I may be ready for. Say it again. Earthly wealth is nothing more than a vehicle to test what real riches I may be ready for. And I love verse 8 more than you can possibly imagine. It might be my favorite verse of the Bible, honestly. Because here you have this guy who was operating dishonestly, and we recognize that in the parable, God, Jesus, he's the employer, he's the man, and we are the managers, we are the stewards, we are the employees of what God has given us. And who represents Jesus, even though the guy bent the rules a little bit, colored outside the lines a little bit, Jesus still admires the guy for his hustle. Says, man, don't hate the player, hate the game, basically. Don't knock the guy's hustle. Jesus respects and admires the hustle. And I want you to understand what he's respecting here, because I don't want you to get this wrong. This is not Jesus saying, well, it's okay to lie and cheat and steal if you got grind and you got hustle. Jesus is not in any way saying it's okay. He's not putting a stamp of approval on the way that he did it. What he is admiring is the fact that the guy recognized he needed to shift and change the the way that he was handling the resources he had to, in order to invest in something that really mattered, and he was willing to do whatever it took to do it. And he said, man, even though you went about it the wrong way, I still got to just kind of pat this little rascal on the back. He said, I admired, and so there's another translation, I think it's the Passion Translation, that says, that's where I got the little rascal. He said he had to admire the little rascal. Jesus says, man, I can't knock the kid's hustle, okay? I can't knock the kid's hustle. Now, here's the question, okay? How can I be a little rascal but do it the right way? How about that? How can I be a little rascal and do it honestly? How can I be a little rascal and do and take, what can I take away from this parable so that we can be good little rascals that Jesus admires as well? There's a couple things that stand out from this story. The first thing is this. Number one, listen to me close. I have got to live my life and I've got to handle my resources like a manager. Okay? I know that your name is on the mortgage of your house. I know that your name is on the car note that you pay every month. I know that your name is on all the bills. I get it. But here is the deal. I know that you're the one with the skill. I know that you're the one that went to college and got a degree. I know that you're the one that hustled and made that business work. I know you're the one that has labored to be where you are. I understand that. I get that. I respect that. I get it. I know. But here's the reality in the kingdom, in kingdom thing. Again, we're elevating our thinking. We're elevating our reasoning. We're elevating the way that we interpret our life. We're elevating that above what we simply see in the physical. And we're looking for kingdom principles. Amen, somebody? Turn to your neighbor and say, we're doing it like the kingdom says do it. There we go. So in the kingdom perspective, I own nothing. Everything that is in my hands is owned by God. If I got a dollar in my hand, it originated in heaven. God, it belongs to God, and he's putting it in my hand to manage. If I have a skill or a talent or an ability, it does not belong to me. God has placed it in my hand so that I can manage it. Amen, somebody? The time that I have in my life, the time that I've been given, which we don't know how much time each one of us have, but whatever time I do have, that time does not belong to me. God has given it to me to steward and to manage, not to own. Your life as a child of God, in fact, the New Testament says that Paul wrote, my life is not my own. My life belongs to Jesus. Amen? So I am not the owner of anything. I am simply a steward or a manager of everything that is in my hands. My money, my time, my talents, my abilities, my skills, my family, my relationship, it all belongs to someone else. And that someone else is Jesus. Amen? So this is the first switch that needs to be flipped in my thinking to be a little rascal. And it's this. This is how I begin to think about my stuff. God owns it. I'm borrowing it. Amen? Everybody say it right now. God owns it. I'm borrowing it. Say it again. God owns it. I'm borrowing it. My money. Who owns it? And what am I doing with it? My time. Who owns it? What am I doing with it? My talent. Who owns it? What am I doing with it? Borrowing it. God owns it. I'm borrowing it. Okay? Now listen. I want you to understand something. Because we have to make a little bit of a distinction between the kingdom principle that I've got to operate here on earth as a manager. Now listen. This is a different principle than the spiritual reality that you and I are sons and daughters in God and have an inheritance in heaven. Do you understand? We are not dealing with, Jesus not talking about your inheritance as a son or a daughter of God. We are joint heirs with Christ and co-heirs in salvation. That's what the Bible says. You understand? Now that is a matter of spiritual truth that places me in a specific position that is based not on my work or my ability, but on God's grace and goodness and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Do you understand? But when it comes to managing the resources and our time, we have to stop thinking like a son who thinks, well, it's just owed to me, I'm going to get it anyway. And we've got to understand that there are some things, that there are some principles that work in this fashion. Amen, somebody? Amen? So, spiritually, I'm a son, but with resources, I'm a manager, okay? And this is one thing I want you to understand. This little rascal in Jesus' story apparently could not get any friends without manipulating money and using the resources in his hands to get them. So one thing you need to understand is this. If you are able to have real friends, which the Bible calls true riches of heaven, if you're able to do that without spending money, friend, you're already rich. Amen, somebody? You're already rich. See, some of you in this room right now, you're rich, you don't even know it. Because we're defining rich and wealth by how much I owe versus how much I have in the bank and all that. And that is one man, but that is not the only wealth barometer. That is not the only measurement. Amen, somebody? Again, what is it? Physical resources are only a mirror to see if I'm able to handle true riches. Amen? Some of you God has already entrusted with true riches, and we're not even recognize it. Amen, somebody? It doesn't mean I don't want some more money once in a while. It's a fact of life. But I'm not going to walk around thinking I'm broke and poor when I've already been given the true riches of heaven. Amen, somebody? Amen. So I'm a manager, not an owner. The second thing I've got to understand is this, and this is going to be real key. I've got to understand that supply from heaven is conditional. And I'm not talking about, again, we're not talking about we're not talking about heaven and hell here. I'm not talking about your position as a son or a daughter of God. That has been decided to be, God has given us that unconditionally based purely on the merit of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen? See, one of the biggest things we have to understand about the Bible, when you begin to mature and you begin to grow in your faith a little bit, you begin to recognize, if you read the Bible for any amount of time at all and just let it speak to you, you will understand real quickly that there are some things about the Word of God. In fact, most of the promises that we pray about and talk about in the Word of God, most of them are in fact conditional. The one that is unconditional is the promise for salvation and the promise for healing of our mind, body, soul, and spirit based purely on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's unconditional. There may be some other ones. Most everything else, though, you'll find in the Bible that God lays out a plan that says, if you'll do this, if you'll set up your life this way, if you'll believe for this or do this, then these other things will begin to open up in your life. Amen, somebody? And supply, the supply of heaven, the resources of heaven, are one of these things that is conditional. Supply is conditional. We see here in the story, the owner got word that his employee was mishandling and mismanaging the resources that had been entrusted to him. And upon finding out that his resources had been mismanaged, the owner decided, okay, I'm going to have to cut you off from my supply because you're not able to handle the supply that I'm giving you. You're fired. You're done. Get it in order. This is it, okay? So this is what I got to understand. Listen to me close. This is how important this stewardship thing is. What I fail to steward, God will cease to supply. Amen? This is what you can pull out of this. What I fail to steward, eventually God will cease to supply. Okay? if I, he said, I know that, listen, if I can't handle $10, not only will I never go beyond a $10 supply limit, but Jesus, there's another parable, the parable of the talents that would have been real easy to teach here that I decided not to on this series. In the parable of the talents, when he says, when he comes to the guy, we've all heard that story. He gave one five, gave one two, gave one. The guy with five made five more. The guy with two made two more. The guy with one got scared, hid the one in the ground, did nothing with it, brought the same one back to Jesus, back to the owner. And what did the Bible say? The Bible says that the owner said, take from him and give it to the guy with 10. Now, I know that offends every sense of fairness in my body. That is so unfair. How could God, who loves everyone, take the only thing that he's given to this guy and get, why? Because he proved that he couldn't steward it. And what I fail to steward, eventually God will cease to supply. Amen? So if I've been given money, if I've been given wealth, if I've been given resources, and I fail to tithe, I fail to give, I fail to be diligent with that, and I'm just wasting it and spending it and doing and giving it all to whatever whims and desires I have, guess what? Don't be surprised when eventually that supply begins to dry up. Amen? If I never make time for friendships, if I ever make time for relationships, if I am always too busy and always say no and never intentionally invest my time to hang out or to develop relationships or to talk or to show up to a huddle meeting or whatever the opportunity is, guess what? Don't be surprised when eventually your phone stops ringing or. What's it called when you get a text alerting? I don't know, chirping? Nobody's phone rings anymore, right? It's always a chirp. Don't be surprised when you stop getting the invite. Why? Because I failed to steward the relationships that God had given me. And eventually, that supply will dry up. Are you following me so far? If I continually say yes, This works real practically. If I say yes to everything, don't have any boundaries in my life, don't have any limits in my life, feel obligated to help everyone and to do everything and to volunteer on every committee and to coach every event and to do all this stuff and all this, don't be surprised when you look around and go, man, I don't have a second to breathe for myself. What? What I fail to steward, supply dries up. Amen? What I cease to steward, God will cease to supply. So that seems harsh. Let's look back at the Old Testament. Let me tell you something. Ask in the Old Testament if we go back in time. Let's do this. Let's go back in time and ask Samson. Let's ask Samson if God's supply ever stops showing up when he fails to steward it. Amen, somebody? Samson, strongest man ever, probably. Second to me, but he was real close. No, he was doing pretty good. He had a big deadlift. He could do lots of things with the jawbone of a donkey. But he could kill a lot of people. He could kill people with the jawbone. I don't know. That was weird, right? I don't know what he did with it, but kill people. That's what the Bible says. But he did say he killed like 1,000 people or something with the jawbone of a donkey. Pretty wild. But he failed the steward that gift of strength, and guess what? The Bible says one day, Samson shook himself as before, didn't realize the Spirit of God had left him, and he was defeated. Amen? Let's ask Saul. Saul, if you fail to steward something, will God see? Yep, absolutely. Saul, first king of Israel, very anointed of God, but eventually he failed to steward the kingdom that God had given him, and guess what? The kingdom was ripped from him and given to another. Would I cease? What I fail to steward, God will cease to supply. And the third thing, I've got to switch to be a little rascal. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a little rascal. Say it again, be a little rascal. Here's the thing I do. Listen, I need to align my values. I need to shift my values. I need to value the things that God values. And you know what God values? It's not money. God doesn't care about our money. He cares about how I handle it. Amen, somebody? Because it's just a mirror. That's all it is. In fact, Jesus said, show me your treasure, I'll show you your heart. Amen? You know, this is, you can say amen or oh me. But you can go home right now, you can pull up your bank statement, you can pull out your checkbook or however you look at it, pull up the app that you use. Listen to me. When you're looking at the where your money and your treasure is going, that is a direct indicator to where your heart is. Amen? I look at that, it's an oh me for me too sometimes. Because what it tells me is that too much of my heart is invested in a bank for my house. Too much of my heart is invested in a credit card. Come on, somebody. Too much of my heart is not invested in a... Amen? So, I need to shift my values and begin to value what God values. God does not value money. You know how little God values money? This is how little God values money. I know that we have not had a gold standard to our American dollar in quite some time, but we still look at gold as a valuable resource, right? You guys know at one time a dollar represented a chunk of gold, right? Everybody understands that? Yes? Okay. It doesn't anymore. I'm sorry. You know how little God values what we value? The Bible says that that the streets of heaven are paved in gold. God so devalues what we value in the wealth department that he uses it as pavement. So he does not care about money. He cares about how I handle it, but he does not care about money. You know what God values? God values people. You know what's important to God is people. This parable, in fact, is sandwiched right in between a bunch of stories and teachings of Jesus about how much God values people instead of money. And if you looked at Luke chapter 15, you'll see there are several parables there. That's the famous parable of the prodigal son, where the son comes home and the father's looking for him. It's the parable of the lost sheep, where the Bible says the shepherd who loves his sheep will leave the 99 to go after the one. It's the parable of the lost coin, where Jesus said that a certain man lost a coin and gave up everything else to find the one coin that he had lost in the treasure in a field. Listen, what's that all saying? It's saying that God values people. God values people. God values people. People are God's valuables. Amen? And I need to shift, if I want to be a good little rascal, I need to shift my value thinking, shift that alignment, and stop putting so much value in the resources in my hands and start using the resources in my hands to invest in people. Amen. To invest in the things that are important to God and that God calls true riches. Listen, people, God values people. Valuables, listen, valuables exist for people. People do not exist for valuables. Amen? See, this is not saying that there's nothing wrong with having nice things or valuable things or any of that, as long as those things don't have me. Amen? I don't exist for my stuff. My stuff exists for me. And hopefully that what I'm about, that stuff is enhancing what God's put me on this earth to do. Does that make sense? I know we're not all running around the room shouting this morning. It's a little different. It's a little more meaty. When did the little rascal make this change? This is what has to happen. The little rascal makes this change in his thinking. Before, he's basically mismanaging the resources in his hands, probably taking what doesn't belong to him, using it for himself, using it selfishly. And listen, when the little rascal realized that his supply was temporary, that's what clicked for him to make a change and begin investing in true riches, begin investing in what matters. Listen, if I want to make the change, what needs to happen is I need to begin to live my life right now as if, which it really is, as if resources are temporary, which they are. Amen? Here's what I've got to do. I've got to manage temporary resources with the goal of eternal rewards. The temporary resources in my hand. Again, this is beyond money. Money is a resource. It is temporary. It will disappear. It will dry up. Amen? Most of us understand that very, very clearly. Often there's too much month left over at the end of the money. Amen, somebody? We understand that. Guess what else is temporary? Time is temporary. It is running out. Every one of us has a running clock. Amen? All of our, they are, in fact, temporary. So I need to manage temporary resources with an eye towards eternity. I need to say, God, what can I do with the temporary thing in my hand that you have, that I have right now, that may not be here tomorrow? What do I need to do to use that in a way? What would be the best way to use what I have in my hands right now to set up something beyond this temporary resource to do something eternal? Amen? What kind of eternal investment can I make with my temporary resources? Manage temporary resources with a goal of eternal rewards. Man, what would my life look like? I asked myself this. What would my life look like right now if I really began, if I woke up tomorrow morning and just really dived into this idea, and I really began to look at my life and my resources as temporary? Would I change anything? How would I change the way I'm managing those things? Because here's the deal: that temporary thing, there's two sides to that. Because if it's temporary, that means what I have is going to run out. It also, however, means, that what I don't have isn't going to be empty forever if I'm faithful with what I do have. Amen, somebody? That temporary thing goes both ways. So, my temporary lack that's got me stressed out, that temporary lack that's got me holding on instead of letting go, that temporary lack, if I recognize, man, it's temporary, it's not always going to be that way. God's going to be faithful because God's word is true. And if I steward what I have now and I invest for eternity with the little I have now, the Bible says he's going to give me true riches, true. That begins to shift the way I think about that. If I begin to look at what I do have, maybe I've got more than enough ability, more than enough talent, more than enough wealth, more than enough whatever. Well, then I need to begin today saying, man, it's not always going to be here. How can I take what I have right now today and invest it in eternity? Stand all over this place this morning. When he realized it was temporary and that it was on a ticking clock, changes what he does and becomes that little rascal. Whether you're in the building or online, listen to me. The best thing that you can do, the best thing that you can do with this idea that our life is temporary, our time is temporary, our wealth is temporary, listen, the first eternal step that has got to be made is you need to take a step towards Jesus. And you can do that right now in this moment. You're going to have an opportunity to do that. I'm going to pray with you. And that's able to be done. We can take the step towards Jesus because, friend, the reality is that he's already taken every step towards you. 2,000 years ago, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to this earth. God was made flesh. His name was Jesus. Jesus lived the life that all of us are commanded in Scripture to live, a life of sinless perfection. But because of sin, none of us have the ability or the power to do that. But Jesus did. then not only did Jesus live the life that we should live, the Bible says Jesus gave up that life and died a sinner's death that according to the law of God, we are all supposed to suffer. But Jesus took our place. And right now, if you have not taken that step to receive the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and me and the blood that he shed 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary, right now, today, you can do that. In fact, I'm going to invite you to do that right now. Would you just close your eyes with me all over this room? If you're watching at home somewhere, I encourage you to do the same thing. This is just, we close our eyes just to block out distractions, just to take a little time to make this moment personal. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to every one of us right now. And if you're in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus, you're not serving Jesus, you're not following Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I am going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're online, you can drop the raised hand emoji or just in the comments respond. Because I do believe that there needs to be a public response. Jesus said, if you are embarrassed of me before man, I'll be embarrassed of you before my Father. That's what Jesus said. And I'll tell you this from my own experience and time doing this and my own experience with God. When I respond publicly to what the Holy Spirit is doing privately, it just seems to cement that moment, brings heaven and earth together. And our public response that I'm going to invite you to today is just a raised hand. We can talk later, we can pray later, and I encourage you to do that. You can go on our website. There's even a deeper explainer video if you have questions about that, about what it means to follow Jesus, what Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection meant. It's all under a tab on the website. It says ready to follow Jesus. But we're not gonna take the time to go through all that right now, because I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone right now. You feel a sense in your heart. You know you're not where you're supposed to be. You know you're not following Jesus. Something inside of you saying, this is your moment. Today is your day. Let's make things right with God. Let's take that first step from the temporary to the eternal. You can do that right now. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's where you're all this morning, just raise your hand all over this room right now. We're online, at home, wherever you are. Amen. See any hands up today. Heavenly Father, I pray right now in this moment, in this place, God, we will begin to shift our thinking. Lord, I pray that you will begin to make the necessary shifts in our hearts so that, Lord, we can begin to handle and manage and steward the temporary resources that you have put in our hands, including our time, including our families, including our money, including our relationships and friendships. Lord, I pray that we will begin to manage those and steward those in such a way that, God, we will begin to move into the eternal promises that you've given us. God, I pray that we will use our temporary resources to set us up for the eternity that you have called us heavenward for, in Jesus' name. Whatever shifts need to be made, Holy Spirit, I pray if there's areas, Lord, we might be managing one area well, mismanaging another. Lord, I pray any area that you want to work on in my life, any area that you want to work on in our lives, Lord, speak to us, show us, and give us an open heart. Give us an open heart to make those necessary mind shift changes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord. And I'm going to go ahead and pray over the food as well. And then when we dismiss, man, we're able and ready to go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace.
Bless the food that we're going to eat here in just a few moments. The rest of the time we have together to hang out today. Father, in Jesus' precious name.
Everybody said, amen.